trepidation, a nervous or fearful feeling of uncertain agitation or apprehension. I liked this definition too, reluctantly trembling. The word carries connotations of disquiet and foreboding about a potential upcoming threat. A 1940 issue of the Circleville Herald, an Ohio newspaper, printed this statement. A trepidatious Europe today remained tense, worried, fearful for the outcome of what military men predict will be the greatest battle in the history of the world. That meant all of Europe was trembling at the thought of conflict and bloodshed. And, as we all know, soon to follow was World War II, a war which nearly swept the entire world into calamitous collision, strife and struggle. Tense, worried, fearful, and reluctantly trembling. Most seemed to have no understanding of the trembling going on in their hearts, minds, or on the ground under their feet. It's almost as if there's an incredible number of small earthquakes going on in the physical, spiritually, and metaphorically. In fact, physically speaking, according to IRIS, an organization which tracks earthquakes as they happen, there have been 794 earthquakes of 4.0 magnitude or higher in the Earth in the last 30 days alone. Well, 8 years ago, there were, on the average, less than 300 every 30 days. 6 years ago, there averaged around 350 to 400 in a 30-day period. Man, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And that's just speaking of the physical shaking under our feet. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, cool jazz and thought-provoking conversation. Tonight's conversation piece is titled Trepidation Nation. Or maybe that should be Trepidation Nations, plural, as in all nations of the earth are presently trembling altogether for the first time in history. I hope to not present this topic of ponderance in too much of a political fashion, and I'm saying that so we'll know this isn't headed toward getting anyone to vote for anyone other than Jesus Christ. We are pretty much politically benign here. Our focus is the Lord God Almighty alone. Put your ears on and we'll be right back. In 2012, Stan Reynolds of Sage Point Financial Incorporated writes, in 1970, America, gold was $35 an ounce, gasoline was 20 cents per gallon, an average house was $15,000. The total debt was $2 trillion. In 2012, America, gold is $1,700 an ounce, gasoline is $4 per gallon, an average home is $170,000, the total debt is $16 trillion. Our government went off the gold standard 41 years ago last August. By uncoupling the gold standard from the dollar, our government gained enormous flexibility with what it could do with the dollar. But, unfortunately, to date, no government of any nation, anywhere on the planet, any time in history, has ever been able to resist the temptation to spend what they do not have through their power over creation of money. Like everyone else in our nation of trembling, unsure, and nervous people, governments are just people. And like everyone else, they are flawed by selfish desire to get things without paying the full price in pain to get them. He goes on to say, in 2012, to date, our country is spending $3.8 trillion per year while only bringing in $2.5 trillion, which means we must borrow $1.3 trillion. That was in 2012, and this is 2018. Although things have changed for the better for sure, with the concept of better being pretty subjective, the idea of spending far more than we take in still exists. Even if the current administration has improved things, we as individuals are still practicing the same habits which bottomed the nation out in 2008, only with a renewed vigor. It's not their fault. We, as individuals, are, on the average, terrible money managers. Each of us is choosing, and so many are constantly only one paycheck away from the street. Okay, I know this is a lot of numbers, so don't get lost and go with me on this. Okay, here we go. Let it land on you. Let me continue to quote Mr. Reynolds about 2012. The only thing Congress can budget for contains everything we call government. Example, highways, health services, the military, courts, FBI, CIA, and so on and so on. The amount they will spend is $1.32 trillion, which means this year, to make all the functions of government to continue, we must borrow every dollar Congress budgets for. There are only two options to balance the budget on this point. Either one, shutting down, not just to take a break, but shutting down every governmental department from the military to the Department of Transportation to the FDA, or raise taxes on everybody by 50%. Stan continues, mind you, this program was written in 2012, so keep your shirt on. Continuing on, there is no money left. We spent it all and then borrowed much more than we spent. From 2012 looking forward, the next president, and it doesn't matter who it is, will not be able to get the nation back on track without a lot of pain shared by everyone. Well, now let me add, due to America's collective unwillingness to embrace such pain, or any pain for that matter, we will get what we are given by those who we wish weren't in leadership, but yet we put them there. Now let's move this into 2018. We can aim our fingers at government till the cows come home, but the bottom line is each of us must change the way we handle our lives. I don't know about you, but without Christ, in no way, fashion, or form, am I smart enough to do life by myself. We need Jesus. I believe Stan is speaking very plainly to something the American public is very blind to, purposely or not. These are facts that are disquieting and may very well be a main ingredient in the shaking ground we all seem to be standing on. It is virtually impossible to take something away from people once they have been promised it, and it's been given to them for so long. Usually riots and chaos in the streets and in government follow. Maybe printing more money would help, but in the long run it just becomes green ink on white paper. I tell ya,
when people realize, I mean really realize, they are not safe, almost anything can happen.
When the calendar ticked from 1999 to 2000, there were a lot of people who suddenly said,
I don't feel safe.
I remember thinking, you've got to be kidding. You weren't safe before, and without Christ, your illusion of safety was just that, an illusion. I heard other people say,
I feel like Big Brother is listening.
Are you kidding? Big Brother was listening all along. The difference is you guys are just now waking up to the realization. How to deal with this in a pragmatic, prayerful, watchful way without being panicky and overly reactive is a good question. It's easy to quote 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God said it. It is absolutely the truth. But I'm pretty certain the heal their land part does not mean we'll all get to live on Easy Street, dining on sweet things, riding merry-go-rounds, and dreaming in the moonlight. I certainly doubt God's idea of restoration means to restore us to our old, let's exclude God, state of mind and heart. When most people quote that scripture, I believe what they've got in mind is to go back to some sunny, whimsical, magical time in their life when they felt all things were just fine. What we don't realize is that even if we went back, everything is different now. Old friends have moved on. We ourselves are different. Roads have changed. Businesses have ebbed away into the past and new ones have sprung up. The old home place is long gone, and the farm is now a shopping mall or a parking lot. There is no going back. Let's look at a simple 10-year window at how things went when we, as a nation, purposely started excluding God, which began around 1960 to 63. Between 1962 and 1973, teen pregnancies jumped 400%. Sexually transmitted disease jumped 272%. Sexually active teens jumped nearly 400%. Murder arrest for ages 13 to 18 up 230%. Violent crime in general crept way up over 400%. Reported child abuse leapt 330%. And the list goes on and on. Now here's a real zinger. Since the introduction of Viagra, sexually transmitted diseases among men over 55 has skyrocketed over 600%. Oh, that's right, 600%. I'm sorry, but without the Lord, that's where we are, and worse is to follow. Without the love, protection, and direction of Jesus in our lives, there is no choice for society and all those in it but to spiral downward towards self-destruction. So, here we all sit, feeling apprehensive. We have a nervous trembling in our hearts and all around us. There's this funny tension in everything. It's like everything and everyone is trembling with either anxiety or expectation. Like I said, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. ¶¶ So many, many people can't sleep, so they have gone to their doctor and gotten a prescription for a pill, a sleep aid, completely ignoring the side effects. One of the goals of the FDA is to ensure that drugs marketed in this country are safe and effective. But come on, have you read those side effects? Oh my gosh! The side effects of so many drugs approved by the FDA is absolutely terrible. In fact, so horrible, it's like a comedy to read the list. If I take medication which causes me to bleed through my skin, from my position that is very not safe, and often the horrible side effects seem to far outweigh the effectiveness. If I had to get my dog a rabies vaccine, and he still got rabies anyway, the vaccine doesn't work. If you get a flu shot every year and you still get the flu, it doesn't work and you just have to call it what it is. Yet the Overwatch governmental agency has approved it as safe and effective. And I say, according to whom? Many have such daily anxiety over everything. They are literally trembling inside to the point of taking drugs to reduce their anxiety and depression with such longevity. They now are dependent on those drugs to make them somewhat functional in society. We are trepidatious over going to the store, leaving the house, walking in public, being noticed and not being noticed. We have an uncertain agitation about our finances or the lack thereof. It is incredible the number of people who are apprehensive over any close relationships because of what someone might know about them. Yeah, this is going on a national scale. Don't believe me? Well, do your own survey. Really listen to the people you interview and you'll begin to hear the thread. Hebrews 12, 26-27. This time, he's told us this quite plainly. He'll also rock the heavens. One last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. But in the middle of all that shaking going on, in the middle of all our internal trembling and apprehension, we need to hold on to Colossians 3, 1-3, which says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Is it possible? So many in our nation are trembling in the foundations of their heart because, as a whole, we no longer listen to or trust in God. Our coinage says, "In God we trust." And honestly, from the way things look on the TV and the news outlets, I doubt it. Is people's disquiet and apprehension due to their general unbelief? At what point will we as a whole turn our eyes to Jesus? You know, we don't have to wait until the sky is falling to turn and embrace the Lord. Most folks sort of skip over the book of Daniel. It's literal and metaphorical. It's very pointed and speaks a bit cryptically at the same time. Most don't seem to understand it, including myself concerning parts of it. So we all do what we usually do when we don't understand. We smile, move away, and keep silent. Ha! I wouldn't know that unless I did it myself. On the long shot, no one will be inclined to close their ears. Let me read what is for many people a very uncomfortable scripture. Daniel 12, 1-3. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was seen since there was a nation. Even at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Wow, so let's break there and take a contemplative moment, and I'll be right back. Do you believe we are in the last days? And don't listen to manipulative people who have changed the definition of important words in order to make old prophecies fit their agenda. How do we stop the apprehension and trembling in our hearts? In the 12th chapter, verses 1-3 of Daniel, it basically says that God's people are to let their testimonies shine before men, and they are to lead people to Christ in the last days. Now I want you to know something. Hear this. Your testimony is a praise, and God inhabits the praises of His people. Think about that. Daniel goes on to say in verse 10, "Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." In the last days, evil people will continue to act with evil and to live in darkness. But God's people will understand what's really going on. God's people will not live in fear and confusion, but will have wisdom and insight on how to live in a world filled with turmoil and change.
Turmoil and change.
We are to have a close relationship with God and do great things in His name. Daniel 12:12 says, "Blessed is he who waits." Focus on the Lord. Set your eyes upon Him. Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord, our God, until He comes and has mercy on us. Strength will come when we wait upon the Lord. In Titus 2, 12-14, Paul tells us we should live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Well, now there it is. Jesus is how we stop the trembling in our hearts and minds. He alone is the stay and stanchion. He is our hope. Jesus alone. Think about it. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Thank you for joining me here at Outposts, a fine establishment by the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant. I'm Social Porter, and this program has been brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, good old Eddie down at Area 22 Guitars, Miss Jackson at the Deluxe Beauty Shop, Frank Edney at the Hot Spot, Bruce and Mildred Harrell, Paul down at White Knuckle Studios, and Jeff and Karen at Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. If you're so inclined, go to livinginhisname.org and look around. There's a lot to listen to and read. Music was by the Pete Minger Quartet, the Brecker Brothers, Dissection, Bill Bruford, and Jazz for a Rainy Day. All music uses licensed by BMI. Don't let our trepidatious nation get to you. Jesus is our fountain and foundation, not the structure of men. He is our starting and stopping point. Every time, without fail, always is Jesus, and there is no other. Cling to Him, and Him alone, not your friends, not your job, not your pastor, or your ideals, but to Jesus. Rest assured, He knows exactly what to do, and that is exactly what He will do. Let's count on it with all our heart. Yeah, what a super idea, huh? And until we meet again, be blessed and wise here.